Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, so your boyfriend has been, you've been dating him for a while. He has been kind of wanting to like do a career change because he's just like kind of like disillusioned with his job because there's like, to him, not really any room for advancement. And he kind of has always wanted to like be a writer and write like a memoir movie about his job. Because he's like, you know, I have a lot of experience in this world. And so he's been trying and he like met this guy, who is a successful Hollywood writer in his sober group. And that guy's he was his sponsor for a little while, but then like he started getting really into gambling and like borrowed money from you and your associates. And then like when he couldn't pay it back, you like broke his kneecaps and stuff. So you've got this, he's got, your boyfriend like is telling you all this. He's like, it's already been done. Okay. So he's like, I had this really great idea. Me and a couple of my associates were breaking in to this like writing group that he's hosting for the WGA. And we're just going to like beat the shit out of him. We beat the shit out of him and we got him to like write a movie for me. And it's going to be The Godfather meets the mob. And and
so it's a prequel.
Yeah, and or no, I'm sorry. The Godfather and like mob stories. I'm so sorry. That was my misspeak. meets Frankenstein, and it's going to be a slasher movie. And he's like, and I'm just going to like force him to write this for me. And he invites you to the first meeting for and he's like, I need you to be an investor for this movie because we don't really have any money. It's just like me and him and I guess like my goons who are gonna like kill him if he doesn't write this movie for me. And you have you've gotten a bit of money for reasons that don't matter. You have a bit of money. Also, you know that he is a decent actor, but he is a very bad hacky writer. But he has this real writer to like help him. So what do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we...
Your face got so scared.
This is where the podcast meets the introduction.
We're not going to tell you what it is.
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan. And
I'm Patrick.
Oh, wow. So much is going on already. I love it.
Okay.
You invest?
I think we dig a little deeper about this boyfriend.
Sure.
Does this boyfriend have a drug problem?
Intensely.
Yeah.
Is his boyfriend just mainly a fuck up?
Yeah. And there's many reasons why he won't. He keeps blaming like external forces on why there's no like upward mobility at his job. Mm-hmm. But it's also like 80%. Like, yes, it is 30% the infrastructure and like the way that things are set up. But it is 70%. he's a complete fuck up. And like,
now yeah. at his job, is he like literally only kept around because of nepotism? Like, he's not yes. even very good at it. And like, if he wasn't yeah. someone's nephew or cousin, yes. he would be like murdered probably. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. 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 All right.
Yes. In fact, he like pretty much fucks up everything he touches and like kills everyone around him through his own fuck uppery.
I think you got to save your money.
It's like, babe, I just don't want to get like money involved in yeah, what we
yeah.
have.
Yeah, I don't want to mix it up.
I don't know. I'm getting the sense that this boyfriend wouldn't like that answer.
No.
But he doesn't like any answer that goes against what he wants.
Right. And I mean, you wouldn't die. If you say no, you're not going to die. Like, he wouldn't kill you for that. Mm.
But it might be like the first domino that you ends will end, in you being killed.
You will be dead someday
yeah.
because
well,
of
and
him.
You're going
always
to,
true.
Yeah, you're going to die. We know this.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, maybe the person positing this kind of moved things around timeline-wise and you are already dead.
Wow.
You already have been dead for maybe a season and a half. But in this situation, you are alive.
I think money is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, yeah. it's hard, especially, I don't know where you earned this like chunk of change, but mm-hmm. like if you don't have a fully funded 401k,
right.
and you don't
no, you
own
don't.
Property yet, and you don't like, there's other things that I think you have to say, like this money needs to go to this.
Yeah. And prior to this, like a lot of your money had been going towards like helping his creativity. Like mm-hmm. you paid for his acting classes and it was kind of your idea to get him into that zone yeah. to begin with. Cause you wanted to leave that life.
Yeah.
But
you also kind of wanted to be him to move up in the organization and you to be.
Exactly. Like you didn't know what you wanted yeah. either. And then you were in some very fucked up situation with the FBI.
Yeah.
And like, that was like bullshit. And really like they were really terrible to you and caused your death, but it's yeah. fine. Okay, so you're saying don't invest.
I think you have to just, I think you're in a really tough spot,
mm-hmm.
but I think you have to be the rational one in this relationship because.
But isn't it possible that what's happening in this laboratory of a writer who is like established and good being basically tortured to write a fucked up version of someone's crime life story, isn't it possible that there's some alchemy there and like something really cool would come out?
But well, then you wouldn't need me to pay for it.
Yeah.
And how many really great scripts are there in the world? A lot more than like actual movies that yeah. Oh, I would say there's probably piles
more good
of them.
Scripts than movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's gonna be more that comes into play. I don't know.
Okay, well also I'm gonna tell you something from the first meeting. I don't think it's gonna be a good movie.
Okay.
I mean, Godfather Meets the Mob is just a fucking insane premise.
So basically, it's like a guy gets pinched. His different pieces find themselves somehow. Like, he finds his other body parts.
But isn't getting pinched just being picked up by the cops?
Oh, I guess not pinched. Hit.
Yeah.
He gets hit.
Whacked.
Whacked, taken out.
And rubbed off.
And he finds...
That could be something else.
That's something else. That's what you do with your guma.
What are you, Wingstop?
So he like puts himself back together except for his one hand, which he puts a cleaver on. And then he wants to exact revenge on the guy who hit him.
But he puts himself back together?
Yeah. And then also they're not sure if he's a ghost or if he's like supernatural or if he's
Here's
just
the thing.
Science.
If this like, was like a mafia type story, mm-hmm. this would be a very funny little plot line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of actually getting this movie made,
well, that's why they're planning on self-funding.
Well, that's what I would say. I'd say, listen, Christopher, let's be honest. This is a fucking B-movie that's not going to make any money, but is going to like get you into festival circuits. I'll give you $8,000. You come up
you
with the rest, and you guys just like, you got to find another.
So did you start watching Sopranos since we talked? Because I'm like, you know it's Chrissy. You know it's Chrissy. And you knew all the questions. You're like, is he a fuck up? Is he this? Is he that?
I felt so out of the loop last time Sopranos came.
I'm sorry that I maybe gave you a huge spoiler. I'm so sorry.
I mean, here's the thing about Sopranos. Almost everyone dies.
Yeah, everyone's going to die.
So
my understanding is the only thing we don't know for sure is if Tony dies. That's all I really know.
I mean,
don't know.
I mean, in the mortal way. Of course he does.
But also there's that question of like,
Wait, are you saying the actor? Or are you saying just that all humans die?
All humans die. All humans and all human characters die.
Oh, yeah, but I guess I was referring to within the span of those six and a half seasons. Like the parts we get to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you're not watching Friends and you're like, oh man, these characters are going to die.
I can't believe Joey dies at the end. Like, you know, like an imaginary. Yeah.
But everyone is very doomed in that show anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I mean, the Mafia Cleaverhand movie, like, it is a shame we don't get this in our reality.
Right.
That sounds fun. Yeah, as fuck,
that would be fun.
Dude.
It would be fun if, and that's the thing, it would be fun if done in the right way. But we know Chrissy, he's going to try and be over serious about it, mm-hmm. right? Where it needs to be like fun,
like
camp.
Really DIY, super punk.
Yes.
Right. It's not going to be Evil Dead. It's going to be The Room.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
And he's going to run out of. It's someone's going to say something mean to him and he's going to quit.
Or
he's going to start doing lots of drugs and quit.
Yes, do a lot of drugs and quit.
Like, he's not made for this world.
No. No.
And I don't even mean the world of mafia. I mean, like, regular world.
Like, reality where, like, you don't always get what you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like that. Mm-mm. Chrissy, Chrissy, Chrissy. I mean, honestly, I can't.
I feel like was it a DIY thread you were going to pull off?
I feel like
and I did already
did
say the word punk.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Shit, I'm sorry.
I'm we're doing
sorry.
Punk ships.
Yay.
I forget why now. Oh, it's because of Cruella, that they're doing like a...
Right, Cruella.
Oh, the ad campaign for
the
it,
The thing
right?
that we've all been dying for ever since we saw 101 Dalmatians the first time. Where did she come from? What was she like in her late 20s?
Yeah.
I just got to know this woman. Yeah.
Also, like, I want it to be like a very like girl power hear me roar story.
Because she's evil.
Evil. She wants to skin puppies.
She wants to skin puppies. And before she even skinned puppies, she's a bad boss.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Like that song.
British goons.
Yeah. But like, no, she's a
they
bad
were
boss.
Unemployable
she's, what's her face's
any
boss?
Other way.
Yeah, she's the lady. The lady.
She's the lady's boss.
The mom. The mom of the dog.
Like, wait, like, she is? Like, I thought they were just like college friends.
They're the same age?
I think so.
Cruella. Oh, my God. Well, get some retinol, girl.
She lived hard, man.
She did. She lived hard. Well, she was always smoking those cigarettes.
Then
stuck
what's
into
her face
the...
should be in the movie? Perdita?
Yeah, Perdita. Perdita. No, that's
a
dog.
That's a dog. Pongo and Purdy.
What is the mom of the dogs named?
Bill and Lucy.
No.
No, it's something more British. It's like...
Arnold. Alfred.
His name is like...
Bippy and Bobby.
Yeah, Bippy and Bobby.
That sounds good.
Mm.
Anyway, Cruella is like a punk rock designer, whatever.
I mean, if it was just a thing about a punk rock designer, I think I'd be more interested in the movie.
I mean, honestly, I don't mind the setup. I don't even really care about the, like, she was planning to murder puppies. Like, yeah, she's a villain. Like, I don't...
Anita
Perdita.
Anita Dearly.
Very good.
Okay, sorry, continue.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really have a premise
doesn't
bug
me. Are we going to get into like animal cruelty in this is my question.
I think we're skipping it. She's the hero of the movie. I think that's where I'm like I don't care about her as a hero of a movie.
I think I like my only issues with it are the girl boss aspect of it just because I'm kind of tired of that. Like the fact that like they unironically had her say "Hear me roar" in the trailer, I was kind of like, oh man, like I don't know. I think I've been done with that kind of story for a while.
But she's gonna roar, Kelly.
Maybe she's standing on a pile of dead lion cubs.
I just don't think that
misogyny, she trophy hunted herself.
I just don't think that misogyny is the reason why she started skinning puppies.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, it looks like Emma Thompson is like the Uber, like the
Uber
original.
Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe so she's like emulating.
Yeah. I don't know. As a Disney person, this is the least mysterious and interesting backstory that I've ever heard.
I'd rather see an Ursula situation.
100%.
Because that would be fun, right?
Or even just
delicious.
Like Teen Scar.
Oh, sexy.
Well, I mean, come on.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to turn everyone on.
We're all turning into Wingstop over here. I don't want to.
But like, honestly, because we know where it ends up, but like Teen Scar would be very interesting to me.
I would watch Teen Scar if it was like live action human portrayal.
Wait, so it's just
ooh,
like
there
people?
We go.
I'm also interested in Scar too, because like there is something about like there's certain types of cruelty that I'm like interested in seeing the origin of. Cruelty towards animals, I just feel like is one of those things. It's where I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to see how you ended up being someone that wanted to skin dogs.
Well, and it's also a weird thing because it's of its time, because it was a time where people wore furs.
Yeah.
So like we look at it now. I mean, it was pretty egregious to kill puppies to make fur, but like.
Yeah, she's the villain.
But at the time, people wore furs all the time. Yeah. Where do you think those minks had parents?
Yeah.
I just feel like.
But just because something had parents doesn't mean that we're against killing it. Like, people eat meat all the time.
Yes, but I guess what I'm saying is Cruella wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Or she wasn't bad enough for me to be like, how did she get that way? No, she was just a crazy woman who wanted a coat.
Yeah. Like, and saw all these puppies.
Yeah, and she was like, these could make. She was just a capitalist.
It was going to be an ugly coat, right?
Ugly, like patched together, like looking like some fucking Buffalo Bill suit shit.
Yeah.
Ugly as
she
fuck,
really
should have
gone after Pongo.
She should have, and Perdita. She could have done one per arm.
They're not as soft then, though.
No, because they're
puppy fur.
Like dogs. All the under fur is like yellowing.
Yucky,
I mean, she's right.
Yeah.
Cruella
she knows,
is right.
I mean, honestly.
She knows a quality product.
Queen Slay.
Yep.
And I guess maybe that's the punk thing, too, that I don't like about. And I'll probably watch it when it's free to me. But
same.
Yeah, likewise.
But Cruella is not punk. She's the establishment.
She's the establishment.
Yeah.
I know.
She's a horrible, grotesque figure created by the establishment, but she's the establishment.
But even in her, like, old school, like, Emma Stone days, she was high-end lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, very, you know, this is pre-lip service and Hot Topic. Like, punk was not a fashion statement yet.
Is it maybe, is this going to be a story about like someone that is like an outsider to the establishment wanting to change the establishment, and then once they're in it becomes the establishment? Is that what it
like
is?
Like Green Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Green
it
Day.
It might be a Green Day arc, which again, there was a time where you could use the word punk to talk about Green Day.
You could.
Do you have a punk ship?
My punk ship comes from, or part of it comes from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
From the current run of comics that are being written and drawn by Sophie Campbell. And in the modern Ninja Turtles comics, New York City has been hit with a mutagen bomb, mutating like 80% of the population.
Holy moly.
So like everyone is a mutant animal. And the US government has like walled off the city, and like no one can get into Mutant Town, as they're calling it now. And you know, the turtles are there, but the turtles have been mutants for a long time.
Right.
The turtles and their allies have been mutants for like a super long time.
Yeah, they're like the mayor of Mutant Town.
Well, the mayor of Mutant Town is Baxter Stockman. He is not a mutant. I know.
I don't like that. The mayor needs to be a mutant. Yeah.
He was elected on the night the bomb went off.
We'll redo it.
Wait, did he do the bomb?
No, old Hob did. He's a cat.
He wanted everyone to be like him.
He was like, I need more of my, his group is called the Mutanimals. He's like, I need more Mutanimals. Make everyone a mutant, work out that they're on my side later. But so anyway, in this new mutant town of New York City, there is like, things are slowly like going back to like, people are starting to go to shows again. Like, it feels very much like a coming out of quarantine where like people are no longer in survival mode. Now they're like actually willing to like have fun and like be with their friends, even though everyone is a horrible mutant and it's all very scary. So the turtles, including Jenica, the fifth turtle who joined them, I don't know, like two-ish years ago. Cool character, has a very like punk rock background. That she was like picked up off the street by the Foot Clan and like trained to be a ninja assassin, and then was later mutated and has joined the Turtles. But she was trying to like get back to her like music roots, her punk rock roots, and goes to this rock club and sees a band fronted by this pig mutant named Sheena, who has awesome pink hair. And is just like shredding on the guitar and like just belting like kind of like punky, metally like lyrics and stuff. And so Jenica and Sheena start this like kind of flirtation.
Oh.
And, you know, she's like, why don't you come by the dojo? We can like teach you how to like throw a couple punches. And
why don't you come by the dojo? It's such a rad pickup.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
But here's the thing. Jenica, not gay. So like, she's appreciative of this like relationship, but when Sheena tries to like move in and like, mm-hmm. you know, like make it something that it wasn't, Jenica's like, sorry, I can't. And like bugs out. And the reason that they had this like very close moment where Sheena went in for a kiss is they're at the dojo and they're like throwing punches and her wig falls off. And because she was like, when I was human, I had all this like awesome hair that I could just like dye pink and was rad. And now that I'm a pig, I can't. Like, I have to fake it.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just, it's so interesting that, like, Jenica sees, like, an authentic expression of a human being in Sheena, and Sheena's, like, doesn't see that in herself. Because, like, you know. So I was like, who could I ship Sheena with that would be, like, accepting of, like, the person just trying to be cool and genuine as themselves? And I landed on Knives Chow from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Because she does not need to be with fucking Scott Pilgrim. She needs to be with a genuine punk rocker.
Yeah.
Yep.
And may as well be a pig in a cool pink wig.
Yeah, dude.
And she would be into, like, the spectacle of that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I like this for them. That's a happy ending.
This is much better.
Yeah, much better. For both of them.
Yeah.
Upgrade.
Yeah.
Upgrade. For sure. That's great.
Kyle, you got a punk ship?
Yeah, so mine also has comic book punk bands and straight chasing and all very similar threads. So the first half of mine comes from an indie book called Fuck Off Squad, which I brought for you guys to look at for reference.
Yes.
So one of the characters, Megan, is in a band called Teenage Switchblade. And they're pretty rad, and they're coming back from tour. And Megan is, like, pissed, not really feeling the whole tour, like, really angry, really just honestly butthurt and kind of crying and complaining a lot. We find out it's because the lead singer is just driving her crazy, and she hates her so much because she's, like, hooking up with every guy and cheating on her boyfriend, Todd. But then first chance that Megan gets, she like corners Katie in an alley and tries to make out with her. And Katie's like pretty straight and not into it at all. Now there's band drama. Todd finds out that Katie's been cheating on her. All this stuff. The band breaks up. Everything falls apart. I blame Megan entirely for this. It's all her fault. She fucked up the band. She ruined the relationship. Should have just been a good friend and kept her mouth shut. Didn't work out like that.
So she raised the flag?
She did. Like, so after she was rejected, was it after they made out or right before they made out? She like literally pulls Katie off the stage during a show and is like, you're fucking up the show. You're ruining the whole band. And they get into this like screaming match about why Katie's, cheating on her boyfriend Todd like the whole tour, and then Todd is of course like standing over their shoulder and hears the whole thing.
That's so fucked up.
And then Meg uses that opportunity to like make her move and try to make out with her bandmate.
Oh my god,
Meg! What a drama queen.
Not good.
Super,
not good.
Super shit show.
Yeah,
and she's like of the three main characters, she's like not even the most dramatic of them. I'd say Clark is. I don't even want to get into Clark.
We don't even know Clark.
Clark's just bounces between being obsessed with his fake Instagram girlfriend and like statutory rape. It's a whole fucking thing. It's like, yeah. But who I haven't brought up is Jimmy, and she's kind of like the least offensive of the group. Jimmy is just like, she's a skate punk and she kind of hates everybody and she's just super horny and wants to hook up with girls like all the time, doesn't really care about anything else. But she's got this whole dramatic thing with her ex-girlfriend because her ex-girlfriend is like dating another woman and maybe the ex is like polyamorous, but like Jimmy's not feeling any of that. Yeah, so she's just, you know, very sad, very, very tearful about it. So to get my ship to sail, I need Teenage Switchblade to get back together, at least temporarily.
Okay.
Okay.
So they can, so they can travel to do one more show in Beach City from Steven Universe.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Now, Clark and Jimmy decide, like, okay, we're going to go, like, I imagine that compared to L.A., Beach City is like Ventura. Yeah. You could drive there to see your fans' friend play. So they drive out. They're going to see the show. Who knows? This could be the last Teenage Switchblade show. And there is the pink-haired human known only as S from the Steven Universe episode. I think it's Last One Out of Beach City. Are you guys familiar with this one?
I'm trying to remember it.
I don't think so.
Okay, so, gosh, there's a lot of backstory to this one, too. It's the best Steven Universe. So Amethyst has tickets to see, no, not even tickets to see, because it's a fucking, it's a backyard show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Has plans to go see Mike Kroll show with Greg. Greg backs out at the last minute, so like to sort of save the evening in an uncharacteristic way, Pearl is like, oh, well, Steven and I will go with you to this like backyard punk show. And Pearl is super try-hardy and just...
Oh, yeah, of course. On character with Pearl.
Oh, my God. It's just fucking, to borrow a phrase from the youth, super cringe, just not based. Yeah. It's horrible. And she sees this girl who happens to look exactly like Steven's fucking mom. She's like a fucking just like badass, hottie, big, huge pink hair. And Pearl is like full splooshed, you know, jaw dropped, like can't figure out what these feelings are.
Yeah.
Like, you're horny, Pearl. Yeah. You've been horny before.
Yeah.
But ends up like talking to the human and getting her phone number. And Amethyst and Steven are like, whoa, what the fuck? Also, Pearl like leads them in a high-speed car chase with the cops on the way to the concert. Excellent episode. But then, you know, in Steven Universe fashion, all of this just goes away. We never hear from S again. Pearl never mentions it again. I feel like if anything were going to happen, like, you know, Steven and Amethyst would have had to coach her through, like, now you text her and, like, ask her out, but none of that happened. So S is just like, all right, going to backyard shows, hanging out outside of Beach City. There's this band, Teenage Switchblade, comes to town. She's hanging out, doing her thing. And Jimmy spots her in the crowd and is very, like, similar to Pearl.
Yeah.
Like, okay, who's this?
Yeah.
Like, I'll go fuck with this. I'm very horny. And she's, like, not shy about hitting on people whatsoever. So she goes up, and she's laying it on thick, and she's like, oh, I'm so cool. Like, I don't even care about, like, being the most punk rock person here. And S, like, fresh off of getting ghosted by Pearl, is just like, look, I'm tired of skinny bitches fucking hitting on me at all these shows. Yeah. Like, are you gonna fucking text me or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's like, whoa, fuck that lady. I'm not, like, trying to fucking hear that.
Yeah.
Like, three songs later, she, like, kind of just sidesteps a little bit closer. Yeah. A little bit closer. She's like, yeah, I'd text you if you give me your number.
Yeah.
Just, like, knocks Jimmy down a little bit. Like, hey, like, I'm not looking for drama right now, but, like, you are a babe, and, like, we can go get a fucking coffee or something sometime if you want to. And then just, like, see where it goes from there.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I like that for them.
That's really cute.
Teenage Switchblade? That's the name of the band?
Yes.
Do they break up again at this?
I think this is their real last show.
Yeah, no, this is for real. They break up, like, lights, they're done.
Yeah. But I like to think, so in the book, in Fuck Off Squad, the end of their tour is, it's not going well. Like, they're using a drum machine because they had to kick the drummer out of the band on tour. No.
A punk band with a drum machine?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're reading you can't really tell what their sound is, but aesthetically, they're a punk band.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I don't think that band is long for the world, but I like to think that at least one good thing could come out of it.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
That's really cute.
Silver lining it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so mine is reaching back to something I've talked about before, but this is kind of like the prototype ship of all of Degrassi the Next Generation.
Okay.
Yes!
So we have...
Old patterns!
Yeah.
So before you had the Next Generation, you had the OG, the original generation.
Yeah.
And in that, there was a character named Spike.
Hell yes.
And she was called that probably because she wore her hair as spikes. She had like shoulder length hair that she wore straight up. Like,
that's awesome.
Amazing. And I think as she, because she was there throughout the middle school, high school, and then they had like a show like that was post high school, I think it was called Degrassi Schools Out. And she kind of calms down a little bit, but like the vibe is definitely punk hair, at least, and like a punk vibe. But freshman year, she loses her virginity to her boyfriend Shane. Gets pregnant.
No, stop it.
Yes.
One and done? All the odds. Oh, my God.
And so she has a baby.
This, to me, is like the prototypical Degrassi junior high story.
Yes, 100%.
I think Degrassi has to have like a hard stance on sex. Like it 100% leads to pregnancy.
Yeah. Or it like 100% has consequences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't always lead to pregnancy, but sometimes, but it always leads to feelings.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Which is fairly accurate. So she gets pregnant. She decides to have the baby. Shane's family is a little fancier than hers and looks down at her punk self. But she gets through. She raises Emma, is the name of the baby, herself, all the way through high school. So she, like I said, she got pregnant freshman year. She has the baby. One of her friends is nicknamed Spike. Is nicknamed Snake. Archie Snake Nelson. He is not that punk. He's kind of a big goober. But he gets kind of a crush on her late in the series, but then they never really get it together. She has to prioritize her baby.
Yeah.
Flash forward to the Next Generation. It's been, I guess, about 10 years. And Emma is now about to go into seventh grade. Can you believe she grew up so fast? And guess who is her media immersion teacher?
Snake.
Ah! What?
And so Spike and Snake, it's like when they see each other again, there's some sparks.
She's still wearing her hair spike tie.
No, she's now a hairdresser and she wears her hair like funky and does lots of cool colors and stuff, but it's not as like aggressively punk.
Sure.
But it's also like 2004, so it's a different time. And so she and Spike and Snake get together. And she stays as like, she's kind of the mom for the first like seven seasons of Degrassi, the Next Generation. And then she continues on. Because I'm back on Degrassi. I just watched an episode. This is wild, guys. And I kind of wanted to talk to you about it. Almost made it a hot take, but then I couldn't. I didn't want to double dip. So Emma is now in college. She just gets a lot.
Time like keeps time, on slipping. Yeah. Why does time it keep going?
So Emma's in college, but Snake is still the media immersion teacher, and he has grade nines, I think, in his class. I think it's ninth. They're ninth graders, and they're the nerds essentially. They're young. They they haven't realized that sex has consequences yet, and so they are. And there's a kid who's like a godson who, whatever. There's a reason one of the kids lives at Snake and Spike's house. And so they're like, let's do our project at Snake and Spike's house so we can see what a teacher's house is like. Wouldn't that be cool? But they're also like nerds. So you're like, yeah, you would think that's cool. So they're sneaking into Snake's bedroom.
What?
Ew, don't to like the poke around and see what they can find.
Yeah. No, you're going to find one of your classmates under
your bed.
Under the bed, what they find is a vibrator in a package.
In a package?
In a package, which is better.
Like shrink wrap still?
Like
unopened. Like just bought like off like in the plastic case that like has a little hanger.
Is it like a dildo vibrator or is it okay. Wow.
Balls? Does it have balls on it?
No, I wouldn't it's
pretty simple.
Pretty simple. It's simple cylindrical shape tapered at the end.
Okay.
It's also bright purple and sparkly.
Okay.
And they take it.
What?
And they're like holding it and talking about it.
Wait, do they take it out of the package?
Eventually. But then Spike comes in and is like, hey guys, what are you up to? And they're like, oh, we were looking for the bathroom. And she's like, I know. And she's very cool. She's like, I know what you're doing. I remember being a kid. Of course you want to see what your teacher's room. Did you find any snake secrets? And they're like, all right, go back downstairs. So they do. And then they bring the vibrator to school.
What? What? This is messy.
Yes.
What are they doing? They brought it to school?
They opened the package. And these are like the two most like virginal, nerdy, like don't know what the fuck's like. They don't know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
They turn it on and they're like, what does it do? How does it work? Like, what is it? What do you do with it? They don't know. And they're talking about this in the bathroom. They drop it. It rolls out. Another student finds it and hands it back to them.
It's not on when it hits the floor, so it's
no,
not
like... No, it is. It's vibrating.
Oh, no.
He hands it back to them and is like, keep this to yourself. Yeah. And then they're talking about it in class, and one of the teachers finds it.
What?
Yes.
This is amazing.
This is so messy.
And
okay.
This girl is like the most... Like, her parents are ultra religious, and the mom gets called in, and the mom is like, this is not my daughter's. I don't know where this came from. Like, who brought this to school? I can't imagine. And the daughter's like, I brought it to school. It's mine. And also, I guess Spike never noticed it was missing.
Well, I mean, he's leaving it in the package. Does he even want it?
Leaving the package underneath the bed.
Wait, was this Snakes or Spikes?
Well, we don't know.
One of
them. It's under
their
Snakes...
shared bedroom.
Okay. Because
they're a couple. They're
married.
Maybe
it was a future gift.
It could have been.
Oh, okay. I mean, who knows? Maybe he likes being pegged.
Maybe.
It could be an impulse buy. It was like, I guess I'll grab the glittery purple one.
Yeah.
And then he gets it home. He's like, I have four of these.
Right.
He just throws it under the bed.
Yeah.
So maybe he didn't notice, but I was kind of giving Spike credit for like not ratting anyone out. And then the little girl eventually has to talks to her mom and is like, so what is masturbation? Is it so bad? What's the deal? And then they have an off-camera conversation, and the girl comes back and is like, it's not a big... And then someone tries to give her shit about the vibrator, and she's like, everyone should do it. Maybe if you did it, you'd be less...
Well, you know, that's a good mom.
Yeah. Which was kind of... It would have been harder to show that conversation, I think.
Yeah.
But the results of the conversation were really good.
Yeah.
But all that to say, Spike and Snake forever.
Yeah.
So he does cheat on her once with the principal.
Ew.
And Emma finds them.
Oh,
ooh,
I know.
That's why.
Juicy.
But he had cancer. He was feeling... He'd been going through stuff.
Right.
Look, I think it seems like a lot is always going on
in
the world of Degrassi.
A lot is always going on. And especially if you stay on it too many seasons, there's going to be a lot happening.
Yeah.
Right. It's like escalation.
Yeah. Well, it just like it's going to be your turn for something dramatic to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, Spike and Snake.
Wow. Wow, what an adventure.
Yeah. Kelly, did you have a punk ship?
I do. Thank you for asking. Okay. So, at first I was like, I think this person's unshippable, but I don't think so. Okay, ready? Because I'm going to fix it for them.
Okay.
So, we know there is a certain punk from the Toy Story series, particularly Toy Story 1. He's a child.
Fuck yeah.
Sid Phillips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sid Phillips is a troubled child.
Yep.
So, in my mind, okay, this is kind of like, there's like an intermediary character that's not part of the ship, but helps the ship happen.
Okay.
And it's also because I've just been nonstop watching Sopranos, so that's kind of what's happening here. So he starts seeing Dr. Malfi, and Dr. Malfi, who is not that great of a shrink.
No.
She gets a little too invested and also like does things that shrinks. And I think this is a movie and TV thing, but like, I feel like in movies and TV, they always have shrinks being like, you should divorce your husband. And like shit like that. When it's like, really, they don't do that.
No,
like,
of course
they ask
that would
questions.
Be completely inappropriate.
Yeah. But anyway, so he goes to see Dr. Malfi. He like figures out at least his like weird, like experimenting on toys situation.
Okay.
We may have to talk about how weird we actually think that is. But I want to keep hearing the scenario.
Because toys don't.
Because they're toys.
They're toys.
Right.
I know they're toys. I anthropomorphize things sometimes.
Just
I
mean, the movie does.
The movie does it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is just, he's kind of just like a weird kid. I think he's just a weird
kid.
He's
kind of an inventive kid. He's kind of a creative soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's building his own toys from broken pieces of toys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because I mean, honestly, can his parents maybe not afford toys for him if that's what's happening?
And also, like, if we're going to talk about this, like, how much worse is that than, like, Return to Oz when like Dorothy like makes that fucked up creature and he's like, what's my purpose? And she's like, to carry us. And it's like, okay.
Also fucked up.
And yeah, like, they really will not let him die for the longest
time. Let him die. He's like literally like, kill me. But that's neither here nor there. She's not part of this ship. Okay.
Good.
So
that would be interesting though.
So he does go see Dr. Malfi just for his like Because he's rage. I think he does have rage problems. I think he's an angry child.
Yeah.
And so he kind of works that out a little bit, but he still has, you know, he has tendencies that he falls into. Then he, like, I don't know, falls through a mirror or something. Okay, he, like, he falls through a mirror. He ends up in the world of Cinderella 3, A Twist Through Time. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie.
No.
It's so fucking good. You guys, it's good. I think I like it better than Cinderella 1.
What?
I'm being serious.
Stop
it. It's crazy. Okay, the plot of Cinderella 3.
I love this.
Twist Through Time is that, this wicked stepmother. So Cinderella and the prince are now married. They're happy. And they're celebrating their one-year anniversary by, like, eating some bread in the woods. And it's like,
oh, well, I mean, the first anniversary is the bread.
That's the bread,
the bread anniversary.
Yeah. I wish that were true.
And this movie also gives the prince a lot more character development too, and it's pretty funny. But he's doing that with Cinderella, and nearby the wicked stepmother and Anastasia and the other sister, I forget her name,
Drusilla,
are. They're just, like, being mean in the woods. And you're kind of seeing that, like, the other two are, like, kind of more mean to Anastasia. But Anastasia is, like, very bratty and whatever. The wicked stepmother finds the wand of the fairy godmother. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boos the fairy godmother into a statue. Turns back time.
Yes.
To the moment when the prince is looking for Cinderella. Transforms Anastasia into Cinderella.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Yes. And then has her go in her stead, cutting off real Cinderella. So real Cinderella is just taken for, like, a servant.
Yeah.
So real Cinderella has to go in and, like, try to make her way to the prince.
But she has no memory of that time.
No. So she doesn't know, like, because it's back in time. So the only people that know are Wicked Stepmother and Anastasia. And Anastasia, you can tell, like, you can just tell that she just wants someone to love her. Like, that's her thing, is that she wants someone to love her. And then she gets this, like, really wonderful relationship with the king. Like, she and the king really get along. Mm-hmm. And then it's just the stepmother is, like, pushing and pushing. She's like, we need to do the wedding. We need to do this. And you can tell that Anastasia just kind of starts feeling bad. And she's like, I don't know. Like, this isn't right. He doesn't know who I am. Mm-hmm. I want him to love me, but he loves her. So this doesn't feel good. And this wicked stepmother's just like, we have to push it, we have to push it, we have to push. And eventually, Anastasia does the right thing. And she's like, I'm not Cinderella. And I'm Anastasia. And, like, it just felt so good to be loved by you. But, like, I know you don't love me. And she gets turned back. And the real Cinderella is revealed. And so then the prince is like, oh, yay. Like, I found the woman that I had that wonderful night with. Because also he's like, something's off with us right now. Like, you seem very weird and different. Like, like, you're just very different.
Right.
And she like learns to love herself. And she has this still this like really, and she like tells the stepmother, like, you were wrong. Like, this was not right what you did. And she, I think, like, there's this like other guy that like other court person that like was kind of flirting with her. And so like, he notices her and like they kind of share a look. And then so she has this really wonderful father-daughter relationship with the king, because he explains to her like what love feels like.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, the moments that I had with the queen, like they were so special. And you just like feel it. You just know that like every moment that they have with you, they love with you. And I would give anything to have a moment. And she kind of is like, I don't really feel that with the prince.
Yeah.
And so like that's what. So it's a really good movie. All it's right. on Disney+.
That sounds great.
Okay. Yeah.
I really, really recommend
it. I will watch
it. It's really fucking funny. It like there's like some funny moments. And then also Jennifer Hale, who voices Femme Shep.
Oh my God.
Voices Cinderella. My God. Isn't that crazy?
that is crazy.
But so I think that Sid is like now kind of grown up. He's like gone through therapy.
Okay.
And a mirror.
And the mirror. And she's gone through like kind of therapy with the king. And I think like maybe like he learns to like love himself and understand like where he came from, that it's a part of him. And she does that too.
Yeah.
And they kind of get to go on adventures and like, he's like, you know what? Like, let's be the main characters of our own lives. And she's like, yeah. And like, so then they do that.
There's also something like with the, using the magic to like rewrite the history is sort of like Frankensteining something together from like the parts that are already there, and then like having to reject it and be like, no, we have to do the thing that's real. And maybe that's the journey that Sid needs to go on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Aww. Yeah. So that's my ship.
I like that for both of them.
Yeah. That's super good.
Thank you. You guys should seriously watch it.
While you were describing it, like at the beginning, I was thinking that it sounded like Shrek Forever After.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Which is like Shrek goes back in time, like basically wishes that he never had a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's
then
pretty fucked up.
It's really fucked up. And the movie is like dark, and like Shrek learns like a hard lesson of like, it's interesting that like in these third and fourth sequels to like, you know, where it should just be like the dregs and bullshit that like someone is like, no, I'm good. I'm telling a fucking story here.
Yeah, like someone just left the Shrek franchise and the Cinderella franchise sitting around. Oh, I'm shit, if y'all ain't using that.
Yeah, I got ideas. Well,
and the prince gets some, like, comedic moments. Like, it's good. And the mice aren't, like, super annoying, which I feel like in the first one, the mice are pretty annoying. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't like Gus Gus. I hate to say it.
I don't like him, but he's part of the family.
Yes. But they notice first that she's not Cinderella.
Mm. Yeah.
And so they're like, we need to...
Because they're her only friend.
The animals are always the first to know.
So they have to try and, like... Because they can't talk to the prince. Yeah. They're trying to tell this to the prince. So they have to reenact the whole story. Oh. And they put on like wigs and like outfits. And they.
Okay. I'm going to watch funny. This movie.
It's so, really good.
To the prince's perspective, mice cannot speak.
No, but they can do react play.
They, already wear clothes. It's totally normal.
They're just wearing wigs now, too.
I'm trying to eat my bread in the woods here. And all these little mice are doing their act outs.
But and he's very funny because like they keep doing like very clear act outs. And he's like, huh? And they're like, okay. And they like keep doing it. And he's like, oh. It's cute.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.